Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Man, I'll tell you, this is one weird story. Bill Sweet is my guest, a journey into prayer. Pioneers of prayer in the laboratory. Agents of science or Satan? That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Remember Hale Bopp? Remember those people who committed suicide, thought they were going to, that they'd graduated. That's what they said in their wording. They'd graduated from Earth, and they were going to whatever that was. And you have to wonder if perhaps the Klingbeils, in some further stage of their work than Bill Sweet was aware of, may have come to some understanding, or they may have run into something or opened some door that caused them to do what they did. But near as I can tell from what I've heard, threatened lawsuits notwithstanding, there really was no reason that a reasonable person would, you know, take a shotgun, father and son, put it in their mouths and blow their brains out. There's just not enough there to, you know, to make A add up to B. There just isn't. And the whole story is strange. At any rate, it's your turn, your chance to ask questions of Bill Sweet, who is still part president of this organization and has written this book about the power of consciousness. In effect, we'll be right back. The foreword to this book was written by Larry Dorsey, MD, and even the foreword itself is absolutely fascinating. I mean, here's a physician who didn't believe any of this, thought it was all bunk, but began investigating, and by the time it was over, he was praying for his own patients, you know, coronary patients, that sort of thing, and absolutely knew that it worked. Remarkable book, remarkable story, a very strange story, Bill, and it's going to be interesting to see what the audience has to say about this. So that's where we are in the show. We let the audience in. You ready?
Ready.
All right, let's see. First time caller line, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning. Hello?
Hi. Is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay. I wanted to say that American Indians already know all about this. We've known this for years about the power of prayer. We don't pray for ourselves. We pray for everyone but ourselves. But the thing I wanted to let you know is to stay on course. Don't let anybody throw you off. It's because they're afraid. They're afraid you're going to find out the truth.
Well, if you had to make a guess, hon, about what happened to the Klingbeils, I mean, that's so awful and dramatic that yes. What would you guess?
I don't even have to guess. I could tell you.
Please do.
And they probably were murdered.
You think they were murdered?
Yes.
You think that that a scientific realization, you know, being published and suddenly having this out in the public was too much?
Yeah, because people are afraid of a concept that is so different of what they believe. I mean, for years we've been told a certain religious belief that we came from a certain way and that things were a certain way. And when our mind is expanding and we're listening to other ways, people have a fear. It's all fear. People are afraid of believing something totally different.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right. But so uncomfortable, you believe, ma'am, that somebody would have, so threatening to somebody's belief system that they would have killed these men.
Yes, it happens all the time. It happens. I mean, look at with abortion clinics. You know, somebody doesn't believe like them, they shoot people at abortion clinics. It happens. The Crusades with American Indians. The American Indians weren't allowed to practice their spiritual beliefs.
That's right. They
do. Up fundamentalism, and it's a very good point. How this fundamentalistic thought wants to send things backwards in time rather than forwards. And I mean, we do have it here in our country with like the example of the religious people who blow up abortion clinics.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it all over the world now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'm an Apache, and I'm from the Lakota oral tradition, and we talk about prayer all the time and how powerful prayer is.
Yep.
And prayer doesn't necessarily, you know, when you're praying for someone to get well, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get well. Healing is a whole different aspect. When you heal, it doesn't mean you get well of cancer or anything. You heal, and healing means that you have the capacity to go through whatever it is you're going through.
Okay, but you still, prayer or not, you may go through it. Do you agree with that assessment, Bill?
You go through with the prayer?
No. She said that, for example, you have cancer, you pray for it, or you have somebody pray for it. It doesn't mean you necessarily get better. She said the intent of the prayer is to prepare yourself to go through what you're about to endure anyway.
Well, that might be one possibility. The thing is that we don't want to anticipate what the prayer will do. There could be many, many ways to answer a prayer. I would say yes, in that sense, there's many answers to prayer, and we don't want to outline because we do not know the best outcome. Only the prayer knows, that's really non-directed, thy will be done prayer, knows what's best for the situation. So I would say, you know, I think I do agree with her. I understand her, right, yes. In other words, the point is, what is most normal for this situation? What will bring out the best result? We do want to see healing, of course, but there, if everybody in the world had their prayers answered and everybody got healed, I mean, we'd have a population problem. We have all kinds of other things happen, and there's some situations where it's interesting. I remember this about the suicide thing. I did have a talk years and years and years ago with Bruce Klingbeil about suicide. He could think of one situation where you would commit suicide.
And that was?
If you were an agent for the United States government, a secret agent, CIA agent, and you had vital national security information and you were caught and they were going to pound it out at you, it would be better to kill yourself to save the people from that being revealed. So, I mean, that was one. If you knew something, well, and maybe even relates, maybe we can even tie it into this, I don't know how. But anyway, the point is, if you know something that would do more damage than good, it might be
Could they have stumbled into something in their research, Bill? Could they have stumbled into something of that magnitude?
Well, let's put it this way, now that you bring it up.
I do.
We talked about it from time to time, yes. We knew that there were good and bad consequences to this, and it can drive you crazy. In fact, the article that I was mentioned from U.S. News and World Report on this research of the brain, they would ask people, would you kill your child? Of course, immediately the brain would go crazy. No, no, no. Then they gave him a scenario. Well, what about this? What if you were in Germany during World War II, and the Germans were coming in, you were Jewish people, and the whole town was cuddled in underneath a house in a basement, and you had a child that was crying. And you knew that the only way you couldn't be found by those soldiers was if you covered the child's mouth and smothered and had to kill it. Because if you didn't kill that child, everybody would be killed. Then would you kill your child? And then the brain activity went crazy, and you had all these conflicts and everything. Just incredible. But the point was is that there are situations where things have to be done for the greater good.
Okay. That really does suggest the possibility that they ran into something.
Well, you gave me something to think about.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning.
Is it me?
Yes, you.
Hi. I have a question, and I also kind of have a theory on what happened with the suicide.
All right, go ahead.
I'm a Reiki master, so I'm very familiar with energy healing and even long-distance healing.
Okay.
In the concept of Reiki, there's a concept that you step out of the way with your ego, and then you let the higher power, God, your oversoul, whatever you choose to call it, the greater consciousness of the universe, direct the healing where it will do the most good for the most number of people. In other words, given the cancer analogy, if someone is dying of cancer, there might be lessons, spiritual lessons, that the family members would have to learn. And so the death may happen anyway, but there may be healing that takes place in that family because of the healing energy that is sent by a Reiki master. Now, my question is, how much research did Spindrift do into, like, non-goal-oriented prayer, and did they what kind of findings did they have on how it ultimately comes out for the higher good for all the people concerned?
One of the two major contributions to Spindrift, we feel, has been this distinction scientifically that it's made between goal-directed prayer and non-goal-directed prayer. Goal-directed prayer is this asking prayer, like Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. The trouble is, most of the time, human beings ask for the wrong thing. And we were able to show this. People ask for what they want. What they want isn't necessarily what they need. Non-goal-directed prayer is this thy will be done prayer, where you get your ego out of the way, and we feel that was something new that we were offering to research. I mean, people have always known about goals. You know, I want a car, or I want a new job, and things like that. People prayed like that for years. But the idea of not having a goal and just letting the power of flow, the divine, go through you and produce a result, and you're just the observer, and you watch what your prayers are doing, and you don't know what's going to happen until you observe it, that's something fundamentally new, at least scientifically. And that's
Are you familiar, Bill, with Nichiren Shoshu Sokugakai?
I'm afraid I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. It's a new agey kind of Buddhist-oriented religion in Japan. A very, very, very strong religion, Bill, with sort of fundamentalist, rabid devotees, and they chant. And the purpose of this chant many times can be things like, I need a new refrigerator. I need to be promoted at work. I need some real world thing. And
listen, you're getting into something very important here.
Yes, and people will sit and chant, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, and in the effort to make this happen. And they claim, Bill, that it does happen.
It does happen. There's no way around it. So we hope that there's going to be some counterbalance to this kind of prayer, because if the whole world's going to be goal-oriented, remember that movie Bruce where he played God and he had everybody win the lottery once and it ended up bringing chaos?
Yes.
I mean, you have everybody doing this. The world was really going to go nuts. If everybody wants that car, everybody wants that job. In order to get that job, you got to kill the boss, because I got to get into his place, and you get into the place, and the next guy's praying, he's got to kill the boss to get into that place.
Right.
The world's going to go into chaos. So if we understand on the other side some of the spirituality things, we'll really get into the better flow. I might tell you something very interesting. We call goal-directed prayer particle prayer, kind of like from the quantum physics thing, and we call non-goal-directed prayer wave prayer. Particle prayer, goal-directed prayer, deals with looking at these particles, these material things you want. I want this, I want that. The wave prayer, the non-goal-directed prayer, is just sitting back and relaxing and let the thing flow and see where it goes and God's will be done.
Sounds fluffy and nice, but is there really, honestly, Bill, any differentiation between the power of the two?
Well, we think that we can show it in our experiments. We think this is what Spindrift has been able to do, experimentally show the difference between these two effects.
Okay.
We have two effects that we've measured. We measured a goal effect and a non-goal effect, and they produce different patterns.
Got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning.
Hi. What do you think of this? This is my theory. I think that maybe the goat, the missing chalice that they all think is the, you know, the golden, what do you call it, grail, is actually the belief and the, or the knowledge that the people all put together are stronger than anything else that they could possibly do. You know, I think they're afraid. That's why they make psychics look like kooks, you know, and they do everything the opposite of the way it is.
Yes. There's,
because
you're,
if
you're
everybody
actually,
believes, like, what
saying.
If everybody at 12 o'clock said, I declare this war is over, I wonder what would happen.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Let's see what would happen.
Well, why don't we
I really hope
it?
That they really, if that was the real intention, it'd be
would
interesting
it hurt?
To see. There's a one of Shakespeare's play, I think it's Othello, about the women are withhold marital relations with their men, and that's not the war or something. You,
oh,
you
no,
can imagine what enough people doing with something together could do.
Well,
is
I think just praying for the whole world to get along or for just end this war. Why we were there on a false pretense, and then now we're still killing people. For what? For the false pretense?
Well, you see how complicated it became instantly. Now it's become very complicated. It's not a simple thing at all.
Yeah, so, that's
what?
True.
Yeah.
What?
So it's a very difficult thing. And again, I would say that the way to pray about the present war situation, as long as that came up,
mm-hmm.
would to be open-ended about it, and let's see where it's going to go. Because really, nobody knows where it's going to go. So we might as well pray that way and go with the flow. And if we've made mistakes, we'll correct them. There's a way to correct them. We don't know how, but it'll come about.
Or the world will get even somehow.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
West of the
an interesting point.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm from the Central Coast. My name's Joe, and I wanted to ask Bill, what in your heart is your definition of prayer? And do you pray for knowledge, or do you pray for wisdom?
All right. Oh, that's very good. I mean, what is the definition of prayer? What is it? Bill?
Okay. Well, you want a theological definition? I mean, I am a Christian Scientist and a Christian, and the thing is that I am looking for a prayer that is a blessing to whatever I'm praying about. And I would say what I understand that prayer does, the way I would define it, and this is the way we define it at Spindrift, is that prayer brings more order and harmony to a situation. And so you pray and you sit back as a witness and observe and wait for that to happen. And so that's the way I would pray. And if I need wisdom or knowledge, I mean, that would be an answer to it, too. I mean, it's a good idea.
All right.
Pray for wisdom and knowledge. We all sure need it.
Yeah, great. Sounds great. But if you're an Islamic terrorist, then the collapse of the World Trade Towers and the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, to them, that's bringing more order to their world. It's bringing peace, even from their point of view, to their world, just not to ours.
Well, it shows you how everyone lives in his own mind, doesn't it? The thing is that I think that empirically we could say that in the long run it wouldn't bring more order, but what you're giving there is the power of goal-directed prayer. These guys pray goal-directedly, and it's a very powerful prayer, just like mass prayer was a mass prayer, just like it registered in the egg experiments that they were going to crash. Something has to counter that. If we get more millions of people praying the way they're praying, the people who are praying holy blessing prayers won't have a chance.
It makes one seem every bit as powerful as the other, or it makes it seem just a undirected until directed power and available for everybody for whatever goal or motive you might have in mind, whether it be good or bad, subjectively.
Whatever person learns about the research that we're doing and other people are doing, they can take the research, and according to how they're put together and their moral makeup, you're going to use it for good or bad. So
uh-huh.
That's the danger of it.
Hi, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. I just have a quick theory on what I think happened.
Go ahead.
I think our two gentlemen here that had this incident were more than likely trespassing in a realm of consciousness. And I think it's a definite possibility that their consciousness were turned against them.
They were trespassing in a realm of consciousness.
That's right. That's when the Europeans came over to America, there was resistance, and I think that their work brought them to a point where their presence, their conscious presence, was noticed by some kind of entity, and more than likely wasn't welcomed.
Bill?
Sounds fine to me. I mean, I'm paranoid anyway, so that would fit in with me. I believe that when you get involved in things that are very creative and very new and innovative, you find this wall of resistance that comes up against you. And something like this that could affect all humanity discovers something. Now, that may be too much for a person to take, and it could actually have detrimental effects. I think, it's a possibility. I don't rule it out.
This is really odd and chilling stuff, and I guess it's been probably haunting you this way since it occurred, hasn't it?
Yes, and I've had I'll give you some of the quotes that people have told me that I...
Hold on to those, and we'll come right back. From the high desert, good morning. I'm Art Bell.
Falling in love was the last thing I had on my mind. Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It's a strange and cautionary tale that Bill Sweet is telling, a tale of the Klingbeils, who experimented extensively with prayer, consciousness, directed thought, and ended up committing suicide in a bizarre and puzzling way. I want to get a plug in for the book, Bill. Your book, A Journey into Prayer, is available, I assume,
Amazon.com.
Yeah, all the usuals then, huh?
All the usuals, huh?
Really well, indeed, worth the read. I mean, just you say there's a whole chapter on their suicides and so forth in here.
Tells the whole Spindrift story, and they have explained experiments. And you mentioned Agents of Science or Satan earlier. Well, I have a whole chapter that is actually titled that, and it's the documented incidents where people came after Spindrift. I mean, I could have said more that I couldn't have documented, but those are all documented ones that would help show what actually happened, how people reacted to us.
How incredibly upset they were by what you were doing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And some people didn't even believe what we did could possibly work, and it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Why would somebody be upset with us if they didn't think it worked?
I don't know, but I do wonder about this. I mean, Chicago is a, you know, pretty, it's an urban, liberal kind of environment that you wouldn't think would pay as much attention to this sort of thing as, for example, let's say a smaller town in Oregon where, gosh, people might be much more fundamental about their beliefs. And
I think the people there didn't know too much about it, but it was the people who were around in bigger areas that actually knew about it. They actually had didn't have too much trouble with the people in that area. It was all the contacts every place else. But they tried to go there for peace of mind, too, but you can't get away with it. You're talking about fields. I guess wherever you go, you can't get away from this stuff, you know. Huh. And I would say, if I had to summarize what the Spindrift research did in one sentence, I would say it's this. Each person has a degree of mental input into our world. And if that could be proven, that's the scary thing. You can talk about it, but if they could actually show that each person has a responsibility for his thoughts, and you get it in, and you collect those together, and it gets to be a scary thing, as we talked about.
Well,
earlier.
You could sure lay awake nights wondering what these two men ran into, what they discovered, what they took to their very fast graves with them.
Yeah, well, they were lightning rods for a lot of criticism. That's for sure.
All right, first time caller line. You're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning.
Hi, my name's Chaim. I'm a religious Jew. I wanted to ask you a question that many military strategists have not been able to answer.
Fire away.
The 67 war that Israel faced against 22 Arab countries.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible that the praying of all those Jews together for one cause is the reason why Israel won that war?
Accomplished the seemingly impossible?
Correct.
Good question.
Part of the reason.
Yeah, Bill.
But they also had a general. The Jewish army had a general that was in the Arab army, and they didn't know he was there. So he was supplying secrets back to Israel.
Perhaps. Well, he helps those who help themselves, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, it is a worthy question.
Sure.
That particular issue aside, it seemed impossible, and yet they did it. And I wonder if that can be applied to equally amazing things that just seemed the odds were so far against it, and yet a small but relatively determined group had their way.
It seems like you can't replicate these things perfectly every time. Now, you say you did this 6 times. This is really remarkable to me that you
maybe as many as 11, actually,
well,
Bill.
You know, that is highly unusual. I think when you talk to other researchers or anything, that they would find that quite remarkable. Maybe you need something like a radio broadcast that goes around the world to get something like that to work a lot.
Maybe you do.
Because what happens in research is that it seems that you're able to get these things to work a few times, and then the resistance out there in consciousness, the defense mechanisms of the mind, etc., get to work, and don't let it happen again, because then it can be proven. It's okay, you can have this happen once or twice or something, but if you could actually prove there's a law operating here in consciousness, well, they don't want that. Then the secret's out, the jig's up. And so,
believe me, Bill, I went over that threshold long before I got to 11. I went way over that threshold, Bill. I saw it working.
Consistently.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what is remarkable about what you're saying. I think that there has to be something that big, enough people working on it to actually push it over, because we find, and all parapsychologists will tell you this, that it's hard to replicate something after a certain point. You get too many people thinking about it or interfering with it or whatever, but maybe it all does tie together in the sense that mass consciousness may be the one thing we'll be able to show has a paranormal effect. And we hope they also have some spiritual effects for good, too. It may be the one thing. If we get everybody thinking in a certain way, we hope in a good way, then we can see things happen that are undeniable and consistently. You've given me the idea that maybe more parapsychologists should be on the radio broadcasting around the world and get everybody to cooperate with them.
Well, look, even the people involved in the experimentation at Princeton admitted to me and the world when they were on that, look, we don't want any publicity. We don't want a lot of publicity about this. No, thank you. It will affect the efficacy of our experiment.
This is one of the other discoveries of Spindrift, that you've got to have a way so that people aren't interfering with it. And the only way around that is that when you do your experiments, you don't tell people when you're doing them. You just have a few people involved. And also, you might pray where it's not being defended. If somebody's, for instance, like we had somebody that was praying about starving children. It wouldn't do any good to pray about starving children, but we had some people in Spindrift that were working with starving children. And instead of praying for that, because all the world thought was on these starving children, that wasn't doing any good, they prayed about the milk. They prayed about milk, and they didn't know what the effect would be. But what the effect was is that they were able to have the milk last longer and be preserved longer. Huh. And the reason was the milk was undefended. Nobody was thinking about milk. That's a strange thing to pray about.
All right. Well,
now that I let know that I said that, people will pray about the milk, and too many people will be thinking about that. Then you got to go someplace else that's undefended.
That's the exact problem. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Hi.
Good evening, Art and Bill Sweet.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question and a quick comment, if I could, please.
Sure.
Quickly, could those groups that were praying against the Klingbeils have actually caused them to kill themselves?
Good question.
And Art, in the theme of going for it, I had a custom T-shirt made for a big festival, and it said, Mental Masturbation, Possession, or Garden of Eden.
Yeah, okay. Bill, your turn.
I think that I just saw the Manchurian candidate, and I'll tell you, I think people could have people work on them, and people do things. Wait till you see this article that I just read in U.S. News and World Report, the things people were made to do and they didn't even know they were doing it. This article makes the argument that we don't even choose the person we marry. It's all done through the unconscious mind, strongly having to do with, believe it or not, the sense of smell.
Huh.
It's unbelievable. Not only that, Art, this is really interesting. Recent research that just got into the magazine in Time, I guess. Schizophrenia, we think it has to do with all kinds of other things. They think schizophrenia has to do with smell. They almost all schizophrenics have a bad or no sense of smell, and they're not picking up social cues, and it's distorting everything in their lives.
That's strange. I know that people, for example, with brain tumors, one very common side effect of a brain tumor, Bill, is that the victim smells things that aren't really there. Very strong smells.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a quick comment I wanted to make about something I noticed in the news recently that's kind of scary and seems to fit into this entire motif that we've been talking about tonight.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed, but the Sony Corporation actually took out a patent this week on an experiment they've been working on, which beams radio waves into a subject's brain and elicits responses such as smell, sight, and sound.
No kidding.
Believe it or not, this is true. I read this on CNN.com, and I saw it on ABC.
The Matrix is here.
Yeah, the Matrix is here, he said.
Yeah, and I think the scariest thing about this whole thing is this is an application that is going to be used for gaming.
Gaming?
Now, when you really think about it, in a way, that's kind of like a mind control application. And you know how you can talk about how the conscience and intent can be used outwardly to affect things?
Yes.
For the first time ever, we have an actual corporation that filed a patent to use that same very system to actually affect it the opposite direction, to affect someone's mind.
Caller?
I wonder.
Caller? Maybe yep. They'll call it the smell of money.
that's the truth.
Oh, my. Yeah, I mean, Klingbeil said that we were headed for this is interesting. we're headed for a technological dark ages. It sounds like that from what the caller is saying. We're heading for a technological dark ages. And I think that, you know, this could be what's happening. And he's talking about computer games influencing things. You probably have had Rupert Sheldrake on as a guest.
Absolutely.
Did he tell you about this thing he was involved in with people doing crossword puzzles?
No.
Okay, this is interesting. It kind of reminded me of that when I heard about the games he mentioned. They found out that when people would start doing a crossword puzzle in the newspaper,
yes,
in the afternoon, that it was real hard, and they were watching people and monitoring, watching people. And then as it got toward evening, more and more people were doing them. It became easier. And as it went on to the night, the people who did it later night were getting and moving faster and figuring out the things. The theory being that as more people figured this out, it was setting out a field again, and it was enhancing, kind of like the 100th monkey.
Got it.
I got it. And it was easier as the time went on for people to do these puzzles.
Because the answers were being filed away in the library of mass consciousness.
Yes.
And so the more people did them, the more answers were out there, more readily to be
right.
Plucked from the ether.
More adroitly came to people's thoughts.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, the cold hard truth about the whole matter is we cannot save the world that does not have the desire to be saved. And let me preface that with the three elements that I believe is what Bill is mentioning here is that contains the free will and intent and effect. Now, Art, I know you're fond of time travel or effect of time, and when you got to preface that, you must think about how the future of events of time and how they unfold, and that's why precognitive people don't always have a real good high capacity or percentage of accuracy when they try to predict the outcomes, because free will dictates as far as what the outcome of events will become.
Well, frankly, sir, the best psychic I've seen lately has been Princeton with their graph. I'm sorry, but they've established a track record that I think would put most psychics and tellers into the dirt. So what do you think, Bill?
Well, here's a thought I picked on what he said. According to neuroscientists now, and according to this article I brought up early about U.S. Nursing Report, it could be that almost all free will is a myth. There is no free will. We're driven by things we don't understand.
Yes, I find that unacceptable.
It bothers them. Yeah.
Maybe it's true. I don't know, but I don't like to think.
Well, I think that what would happen is that we, as we become creative thinkers and original thinkers and really work on that, we can find end ways to run around the stuff that is telling us what to do. That's why we need creative thought. That's why we have to be open, and that's why we have to expect the unexpected and not get into routines where we're run by our education and our culture and our unconscious minds.
Well, not if all is preordained, then there is no original thinking.
It wasn't exactly preordained. It's just that we don't understand what's running us.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning. Hello? Going once, going twice.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Turn your radio off, please. That's good. Off.
I've been listening to your program for about 6 months now.
Yes.
And I think that your current guest is confusing prayer with collective consciousness.
Do you? Do you think it really is a confusion that they are different?
Absolutely.
Do you, Bill?
I think that a person, we're trying to establish in our research that one person praying for one object, one experiment, you can show an interrelationship there going on, an interaction. We believe that that prayerful interaction can be shown. As you kept up right away, you said, well, where does this field go? Does it go out and affect other things? Well, it can't be isolated enough that it's not going out and affecting everything else. I think everything does affect everything else. Everything is an input. But I think, too, that prayer can be individualistic, and I think that's what the caller is talking about.
For all we know, it affects the sender. You know, kind of like some weapons the military is developing right now. They have these new weapons that they can't figure out how to use because it affects the guy who pulls the trigger.
That's right. That's right. There's a lot of weird things going on. I know a guy who makes speakers for stereos, and he made a real strong cone, and he got a knock on the door one day from the government and said, we like what you're doing. Why don't you come work for us? They're making sound weapons. A lot of weird stuff going on.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Bill Sweet. Good morning.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Okay.
Well, it's kind of religious belief that two things of all religions always exist. One is, thou shalt not kill, of course.
Uh-huh.
And the other aspect, you know, except for Buddha, because Buddha is one-to-one. But two or more are gathered in my name, you know, I am present. So do you think possibly, I'm sorry, Bill, that, I mean, was it your understanding that because you said they didn't necessarily believe in God, yet they were very spiritual people?
No, they believed in God.
Pardon me?
They believed in God.
Okay.
They were spiritual people. They worked for the church. They were believing God.
Okay. Do you think they were looking for a link? Do you think they were trying to do what the Catholic Church has always denied in order to link science and basically, I suppose, in today's life, the regular person?
We were trying to find legitimate ways through the scientific method to link science and religion.
Yes.
Through experiments.
Okay.
That's a serious endeavor, sir, that gets you in trouble with a lot of people.
You got that right.
And actually, it's kind of like the classic movie scenario where you've got both the government and the mob after you.
Well, I had a scientific skeptic who was an atheist tell me, he said, gee, I realized that not only do you have us against us, but you have all the churches against and all the religions against us.
Yes, that's quite a group. As I said, like the police and the mob. I mean, how do you win that one? You don't.
The police and the mob. Well, maybe you got to go over to the terrorists then.
At any rate, Bill, this has been an incredibly interesting night that I've spent with you over this whole affair. And I guess, as you said in your book, it has shaped your life to the degree that perhaps you would have had a happier life if you never had been involved. But not as interesting and intriguing a life. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. And I've enjoyed talking to you, and I say hello to everybody. My sister's the vice president of the Art Bell Club here in Chicago. And
oh, really?
Yeah, she's a PhD, and she dropped me a note here, and she says, I got the wrong Shakespeare thing here. It was Lysistrata, not Othello, that I referred to earlier.
I see. All right. Well,
but anyway.
Small stuff.
So the thing is, small stuff. By the way, my mom and sister are ham operators, too. I forgot to tell you that. So
well, perhaps one day we'll run into each other on one of the bands. I tend to hang out on 3840 on 75 meters, and I'd love to hear you get an antenna up that would do that and be able to talk to you.
We have to work on that. So I just hope that we can all tip the world consciousness in the right direction and get away from all this bad stuff going
okay,
on.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Take care. As I said, a fantastic and cautionary tale indeed. What a weekend. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. This is Crystal Gale. The words were for me. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight.